It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Well, we got that as a less than ideal start to things. Craig Hoffman along with JP Flame from the Sports Junkies for our first Take Command postgame show of the season. And well, JP, Logan's on the road. He gets a couple days to dissect all this. We'll get to the film with him on Tuesday, but that's what we're going to do this season. A couple of sports talk radio guys, you know, what could possibly go wrong? Instant reactions in our feelings immediately after a loss. Nothing could possibly.
Do we really need to look at film on this one, Craig?
Actually,
we kinda
yes.
We kind of know what happened. Actually, didn't Tampa score pretty much every time they had the ball?
Yes, but that's the easy part. The question is why. That's what we wait on Tuesday. That's what we wait on Logan for. But yeah, I think it's pretty easy for us to point out a few things. I do think the whys here are really important. Although I will attempt to bring down the temperature a moment of what I know is about to be a rabid comment section. Twitter is already on fire. That we know the calls to our shows tomorrow on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 are going to be angry. But I think it's really important to remember that this was week one from a team that won four games last year, rebuilt 60% of his roster, and was, although I don't think Tampa are world beaters, that was a team that won the division, albeit a bad one, and won a playoff game last year, albeit against the Eagles. But like, they won the division and a playoff game last year. They were also really good in a lot of areas that I think you went into this game going that's not good for Washington. Those matchups are bad. And so I do think, JP, at least for me, my instant reaction, my instant analysis is we need to be able to do two things at once. Within the context of that game, that was a really, really bad performance from the Washington Commanders. There's no sugarcoating that. They stunk. Also, that's not terribly far away from what I expected, even if it's a little bit worse than I expected.
Yeah, I picked Tampa to win this game 31-24. It was worse than that. Forget about the final score. What was it, 37-20?
Yeah.
They basically went into kind of a prevent defense there at the end. Washington moved down and scored. But I think that your perspective is really big. People forget this team was awful last year. They had the 32nd ranked defense out of 32 teams. And I know everybody's excited. Dan Quinn, known for his defensive chops. People like Joe Witt. But they're under-talented. This was the first draft by this regime and a huge changeover. And it's going to take some time generally with the rebuild. Now, last year, you saw the Houston Texans in a similar position draft C.J. Stroud, and they went on this incredible run. But that doesn't mean every team is going to be able to do it. That's kind of
and the Texans had started rebuilding 2 years prior before they drafted their quarterback. They also had two top five picks with the trade to get Will Anderson, who had a monster rookie season as well. And like, you know, and listening to a lot of the national podcasts, one of my favorites is my guy, Robert Mays, in the Athletic Football Show. And they went through every team as they did their divisional previews. And they said, how many blue chip players does each team have? How many red chips? So blue chip, top five player at their position. For Washington, zero. Red chip, they're like, I guess John Allen, Daron Payne, and Terry McLaurin. That's it. Like there are some teams that have like 10, 11 combined between those two. You said it perfectly, JP. It's an under-talented football team.
And I think what we worried about in the preseason, you know, you get carried away by the excitement. All of the reports were that Jaden was phenomenal in all these practices. But I mentioned this to you in a text. If you look at the three rookie quarterbacks who started today, Caleb Williams got a win. He didn't even throw for 100 yards. I'm not exactly sure where Bo Nix finished. I know he rushed one in at the end, but he had two interceptions. And he didn't throw for more than 150 yards. And then we saw Jaden Daniels. What I'm a little bit concerned by is something that we talked about heading into the season. Do they have enough playmakers, which goes to your blue chip and red chip point? All right, they decide to ship Jahan Dotson to Philadelphia. Maybe he wasn't a good fit. Maybe his rookie season was an anomaly. He didn't even have a catch in the first game for Philadelphia. They're a loaded team. That's understandable. But now you're relying on De'Ami Brown and Oz and Luke McCaffrey. And do they have enough playmakers for Jaden Daniels to make plays downfield? All right, what we saw today is he can throw a check down. It looks like, I don't know the number, but it looks like Cliff Kingsbury's offense, at least today, a whole lot of screen passes, but almost nothing downfield. So I don't know if this was entirely unexpected. I do think, like on our show, Jason and I picked Tampa. The other two guys got swept away in kind of the preseason buzz and went with Washington. Our producers all went with Washington. You know, I think this was a reality check.
For sure. Yeah. Anthony and I both just quietly whispered Bucks at the end of our show. It's like, look, we like a lot of the directions this thing is going in the very long term. But I think you'll get this as a parent. Like, we're at the part of the life cycle here where the baby's just like eating, pooping and sleeping. Like, they're not even like cognizant beings yet. Like, this was week one of a multi-year project. And my big thing for this year is like figuring out, is this a one-year rebuild, a la what Houston was able to pull off, in part because they actually kind of had a year negative one and negative two, where they did some smart things to set a couple of things up. They also just absolutely crushed that draft last year with a couple of the other guys, including Tank Dell, on top of Will Anderson and CJ Stroud that they brought in. Or is this the more typical 2 to 3 year rebuild? And I think today we see that it very well might be a 2 to 3 year rebuild. But I also think that some of the issues that Washington has were accentuated by some of the strengths that Tampa has, which was one of my fears going into this game for Washington. Their receivers are about as bad of a matchup for the Washington corners as you can get. And I know this, like, I will say both things about Benjamin St. Juice. I don't know how much better he could have played the two Mike Evans touchdowns. That has also been the story of Benjamin St. Juice's career. And eventually you just have to go, maybe he's always going to be close and you need someone who's going to make a play. Like, at the end of the day, you got to make a play. And I'm not willing to give up on St. Juice getting coached up by this group and saying he's done. Forbes was awful today. But again, also, I'm trying not to say, okay, one game, the first time he's ever gotten to try out the new stuff, he's been coached. The first time he does it, now we're going to write him off forever. For what purpose? He's not, like, maybe, I guess they could cut him, but like, I guess then what are you going to do? You can't acquire a new starting corner right now other than nominally, yes, you could sign someone who's also not a starting caliber NFL corner and start them. And thus, by definition, they are a starting NFL corner. And but so there's going to be some patience here that's going to be required in some stuff. The Forbes thing, I think, is maybe a different discussion. But on some of these guys and some of these positions, there's going to have to be a little bit of patience and also just a reality check that that's a problem they weren't able to fix in year one because they fixed other stuff.
To me, you can pick on Forbes, but they gave up 4 touchdown passes to Baker Mayfield. Let's give credit.
Yes.
You preface this by saying Baker had a really good season last year.
It's 28-10 people, last year.
28 touchdowns, just 10 picks, right? You mentioned the weapons. So at least right now, Baker's picked up from where he left off last year. So you have to give them credit. Those were really good plays. Like, to me, you can say Forbes was terrible. I know he had the big pass interference, but all of the guys were beaten. I mean, Baker's completion percentage was super high today.
It's 24 of 30 for 289.
I think that goes hand in hand with lack of pressure. There were times when they pressured the quarterback, but the things that we talked about as areas of concern for the Commanders going into the season, secondary was front and center. Pass rush was number 2. We also wondered about the offensive line. I thought the offensive line did all right. I think the offensive line was okay. Now, kind of to Cliff Kingsbury's offense, and we'll see how it is the rest of the season, a lot of short passes, so the offensive line's not necessarily getting tested. It wasn't like Jaden was doing 7-step drops, ripping a 20-yarder downfield. That didn't happen very often.
Right, and so some of these things go together, right? Like, if we want to talk about the pass rush and the coverage, some of the big completions that they get are because they get some pressure or they bring pressure. You're undermanned on the back end by design, and if the pressure doesn't get home, your DBs are in a bad spot. That's a setup failure slash a more of a pass rush failure. And if I'm the DBs, or if I'm Joe Witt and I get in the meeting, I'm going, hey, rush guys, we hung our DBs out to dry. Now everyone's going to say our DBs suck. That's not on them. Like, no, they did it for long enough. You need to finish. And I have a jillion notes here on my notepad because now I'm an old person who writes stuff down instead of.
Hey, I took a bunch of notes, Craig. It's good. But sometimes I like to keep it simple, right? So
I was going to say real quick, the biggest thing up here, it says finish. Finish. Okay. That's the thing that they didn't do today. They didn't, whether it's St. Juice, whether it's the pass rush not getting home. Like, if Dan Quinn is going to have finish Fridays and he wants to talk about establishing a play style, this was a failure on their terms. Again, this is not a failure for the entire project. It's week one of a long rebuild. I know people are already sick of me saying that, but it is a failure in week one to accomplish the things that they set out to accomplish in week one.
So all your notes, you come down to finish. I look at one stat over everything. 9 for 13 on third downs.
Yeah.
Baker and Tampa was not, they were 9 for 13 on third downs. The other thing is in the first half, I mean, the time of possession was basically 20 minutes Tampa, 10 for Washington. You're not going to win football games like that. Besides Jaden Daniels, they couldn't run the football. All right, Brian Robinson had a couple of nice runs later in the game, and he had a really tough touchdown run. But overall, the running game wasn't there. The passing game wasn't there. Jaden ran. That's the only thing they could do effectively today.
No, for sure. And like, I do want to talk more about Jaden in a second. But I think those two, the finish and the third down, right? Like they played okay on first and second down. They forced 13 third downs in the game. You shouldn't have that many because some of those are multiple third downs in one drive. 9 of 13 is not good enough. And this has been a problem for multiple years. And this is where I totally understand the boiling over rage and frustration of the fan base. Cause it's like same old stuff. Like how many different, we got a new owner, we got a new head coach, we got a new D coordinator, and we still can't stop anybody on third down. Like what else do we want to replace? And the answer eventually is the players. The problem is
but it might change later in the season. Like I wouldn't
100%,
give up on it.
100%.
It's week one, a lot of new personnel, a young team. It may take some time to mature. And that's why I think when you opened up with really perspective, that's what fans have to have. And it's tough to have that because we just had 4 years of frustration with Ron Rivera, which followed years of frustration with previous regimes, right? What I'll say about Jaden Daniels, the most positive thing is he didn't throw any picks.
Nope.
So he took care of the ball, and that's what he did at LSU last year. We can maybe break down the running and getting down and his helmet flying all over the field. Like, I don't
know. Some of that seems like an easy fix. Equipment staff, can we please get on the helmet thing? Thank you.
I don't know if this is what we want from Jaden Daniels, but he clearly can run, right? So they got to figure something out with the passing game. I was encouraged by the offensive line overall. So hopefully they can build on some of the things today. I wouldn't, you know, we're famous on our show for playing the Titanic, and it usually happens 4 or 5 games of the season. I wouldn't play the Titanic music just yet.
Hey, Kate, get your finger off that button.
Now, I will play the Titanic for Cade York.
Yeah,
wow.
That's not good. And by the way, you know, your score prediction, what did you say, 31-24? You'd be a little bit closer if York could kick a field goal through the uprights as opposed to the right of them. Doesn't feel like, especially with a draft pick on the line, potentially, if he plays, what, 2 games, that he's going to get that second game based off the performance today.
Kill him for the second field goal. That was, I think, a 56-yarder.
56, yeah.
And 47 is long. But NFL kickers have to hit that. And that really was a momentum play, if you think about it, because that's a 6-0 game at the time. He misses the field goal. Tampa gets the ball, and that's the first touchdown pass to Mike Evans, which puts him up 13-0. And
which, by the way, also changes your game flow. Can't run the ball as much. And then, JP, what else does he do?
Oh, kicks the ball out of bounds on the kickoff.
Like, bro, come on. we got to work on our insides and our outsides. Inside the uprights, inside field of play. Please, Cade York, although that's probably going to be not the Commander's problem. I mean, it is because they have to find someone else to do it. But anyway, well, that's a Wednesday problem. Let me hit on Daniels real quick because I think that this is where the Tuesday pod becomes interesting. I'm going to go ahead and self-promote for the film breakdown. One of two things is happening. Either nobody's open, which is a possibility, and Jaden was then pulling the ball down. And this is, I think, what happened to Lamar the other night too, right? Everyone's like, oh my God, why is Lamar running so much? Like, they can't run him this much. I'm like, they're not running him this much on purpose. It's pretty clear he's looking downfield, not seeing anything. And instead of most quarterbacks making that sacks or throwaways, he's creating positive yards. That is the magic of Lamar Jackson on top of a lot of other really good things that he does. But that is such a separator as a skill, and it's invaluable to an offense to take plays that should be based off the coverage, negatives or zeros, and turn them into positives. Well, Jaden did that today. The question is it kind of what happened with the Chiefs secondary where they were blanketing everybody in terms of Baltimore's receiving core? Or it's Jaden not seeing the field well. And that's where you have to look at the All-22. You have to understand what happened from a route standpoint down the field to know whether these were good decisions to run or whether they were poor decisions to run and he's got to get the ball out faster. Because I agree, the offensive line held up mostly well enough. Lucas had one really bad loss on the big sack that he took where Jaden fumbled and then I think Wiley fell on it. So that was a bad loss from a guy that, by the way, hopefully next week isn't playing even for you because Coleman will be, you know, ready to go full time at left tackle. But all in all, I think the line did enough. And the question is, were the weapons, like, is it a Jaden rookie seeing really complex NFL coverages for the first time after a gigantically vanilla preseason? Or is it something that you mentioned earlier, JP, which is outside of Terry McLaurin and to some extent Zach Ertz, they don't have the weapons down the field to effectively get open and be options for Jaden Daniels?
Logan Paulson will break down the film. You'll look at the film and you can give definitive answers. What I would guess is it's a combination, right? We know these guys aren't great playmakers. There's a reason that they brought in Noah Brown, who is a journeyman receiver, okay? Like, some people are getting excited. Well, maybe this is going to be the De'Ami Brown breakout. Well, to me, going out and finding another guy tells me they weren't really that confident in a De'Ami Brown breakout.
Yeah, zero targets today for De'Ami Brown.
And when the depth chart came out, right, all of a sudden it was Terry McLaurin with Oz number two and McCaffrey number three. And let's be real, Zacchaeus' best season was 40 catches with the Falcons a couple seasons ago. So we know they are under-talented at wide receiver. Whatever you want to call Terry McLaurin, blue chip, red chip, they've got him, and they have a bunch of guys right now.
Yeah.
Luke McCaffrey might turn into a stud down the road, but right now they have McLaurin and a bunch of guys. So when a defense prepares for Washington, and especially after they watch this film, they know number one on the board is Jaden Daniels running. Number two, take away Terry. Now what does Washington have? They don't have that much right now. Kingsbury's going to have to trick it up to figure some things out.
He definitely is. And this is where the Dotson thing kills them. But let me clarify what I mean by that. If Jahan Dotson was still here, they'd still have the exact same problem. Like, that was the issue, is that Dotson wasn't showing to actually be better than any of these guys. And, you know, so far in Philly, zero targets or one target, zero catches in game one. See what happens over the rest of his career. But they were counting on the fact to give Jaden Daniels the weapon that he needed, that Jahan Dotson would fit in their system and play well. All of a sudden, throughout the spring and summer, he didn't. And now, not only are you undermanned at some of the positions that you maybe planned on being undermanned at, you're also undermanned at wide receiver because a first-round pick 2 years ago is not playing starting-caliber football. And so,
Craig, I definitely think that is an issue. The other thing is, going back to perspective, if you look at Josh Allen's rookie season, he actually threw more interceptions than touchdowns. Most rookie quarterbacks struggle. That is the norm. And the preseason hype, and we'll see, maybe Jaden turns it around. The preseason hype, I think it got to a lot of people, and the expectations were really high for Jaden coming out of the gates in this first game. If he has a normal rookie season, there's going to be some struggles. And that doesn't mean that he can't be great, because Josh Allen is one of them. You can go through a bunch of quarterbacks. There's not that many CJ Strouds and Justin Herberts. Those are really the outliers, the rookie quarterbacks who come in and kind of take the league by storm. Jaden's, he still might, but in all likelihood, there's going to be ups and downs for rookie season. The reason they drafted him, and only time will tell, is they believe long-term he's going to be a star. They don't necessarily believe he's going to be a star in week one or week two, because he's going to gain experience. So the things that you're going to pick up on film, they're going to be picking up on it. He's going to be picking up on it. And hopefully he'll be better in week two, but he'll be better in year two and year three and year four.
Yeah, we had Orlovsky on the show on Thursday, and I was talking to Dan, and I was like, you know, what kind of challenge is bowls for a first game? And he's basically like, as terrible of a challenge you could possibly ask for as a rookie quarterback. Like, he is so complex with the stuff that he does. And this is a problem that, like, in the NFL right now in general for young players, because the preseason has gotten so absurdly vanilla that the things that he is facing now, like outside of whatever Joe Witt wanted to show him in the preseason, like it's just different. And it's, you know, again, like it's a 3-4 versus a 4-3, like the fronts and the protections and, you know, the runs available to Cliff. Like, there's so much that's just Nobody wants to hear about it as a fan. Nobody cares. It's intricate details, but it's stuff that really, really matters. And so this was a really, like, this is not, even if I had to pick a team that might finish with the same record as Tampa, Tampa's not the team I would have picked to have Jaden Tate make his debut against because of some of the specific stuff that he was going to have to face. And I think some of that stuff showed up today, as well as some of the other talent deficiencies, et cetera, that we've talked about.
If I'm watching, I feel better than the New York Giants fans, because they're hoping,
by the way,
that
look who's coming to town next week.
Back. You know, he throws a pick six, has a touchdown. You still have hope in Jaden Daniels. There's no reason to jump off the train. Like I said, the positives took care of the ball, and certainly you can see his athleticism. You saw it in college. He's unbelievably fast. He finishes the first half with 56 yards rushing on 7 carries. You know, part of it also might be his default is to run. So he may go through 1-2 progressions, maybe doesn't hit the third, fourth, and he takes off. Well, most of their first downs in the first half were because Jaden Daniels took off and ran.
Right. It's not sustainable long term. It's also how Lamar Jackson played his first year in the league. And it's not that these guys can't like read defenses. They can, but like you get to a point where, okay, if my first two aren't open and I see a big lane and I'm super fast, why wouldn't I run? Like if I'm going to check it down for 5 yards, why wouldn't I run for 10? And there's kind of that calculation. And then you learn how to process it even faster. And I think Jaden's ahead of where Lamar was in terms of the processing speed. But Lamar has developed into a 2-time MVP. Like, if that happens for Jaden Daniels, I think we'll all be pretty psyched. All right, last thing real quick, JP. Or do you want to finish up on Daniels real quick?
And then I do want to talk about Forbes. To see, and it may take a season to see it, is sophisticated passing, right? We didn't really get a look at anything downfield of significance. I mean, he took a deep shot on a go route where Terry actually was open. But, you know, if you watch some of the other games around the league, you'll see, you know, or if you just watch Baker was throwing, you know, 15-yard outs, 20-yard pass, 32-yard pass. We didn't really see that from Jaden, and I wonder if it's them babying him or, like I said, probably a combination, not the greatest confidence in the offensive line to give him time to have a 5-step or 7-step drop. Not enough playmakers, and maybe he just decides to tuck it. I mean, 16 runs, that's a big time over. I expected around 8. He doubled that. But I would suspect there are going to be some games, like you say, against different defenses where he's much more efficient throwing the football versus running.
For sure. All right, I do want to talk about Forbes real quick before we get out of here, because I agree with you, there's a lot of other stuff to talk about on defense. But Forbes got benched, but I think people might miss on why he got benched, which sounds crazy because, like, yeah, he had a double penalty on a touchdown drive. That was bad. Yeah, but you want to know what I wrote down the play before, JP, on my big giant notepad with a million things? It says 13 not playing hard enough. That's the issue with Emmanuel Forbes. I think there's multiple points in this game where he does not bring the physicality and the urgency to the game that is required to stay on the field. And so you combine that with a lack of discipline and a lack of trust in the technique and the coverage and your teammates that causes you to commit the kind of penalty that he did, that double penalty where it's PI plus face mask, and that's how you get benched for Noah Igbinoghene. That said, I'm telling you that on one side, and I will also be the guy that says I'm not giving up on Emmanuel Forbes after one game because he was coached as poorly in his rookie season as any defensive back has ever been coached in recent NFL memory. And the first time he gets to go out and try the new stuff that he's learned, it not going well, it doesn't mean that he's done forever. Now, can he have like 5 more games like that? No. But he's like, it's got to start with the intensity. It's got to start with the physicality. It's got to start with the urgency and matching the play style that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt want to let the technique and his natural abilities and all the other stuff remotely have a chance. And if he's not going to do that, then yeah, not only should you bench him, you should cut him because he's not meant to be here in the same way that Dotson and some of the other guys that they let go weren't meant to be here. But I wanted to make that clarification because I think it's really important for, again, trying to judge them based off of the things that they want to be judged by, not necessarily wins and losses here in year one, but how do they play? I don't think Emmanuel Forbes remotely met the standard today, which is something I don't say lightly, because and that is actually also similar to how he started camp and he came on at the end and really like ramped it up. He has got to ramp it up starting next week. Otherwise, the leash is extraordinarily short for him.
So with Forbes, I think of it this way. Ron Rivera drafted him because they knew they didn't have enough playmakers. And they saw a resume where this guy had all these interceptions. The physicality part that you're talking about, he can improve effort. I just don't know that he's ever going to be able to do much about physicality. He's a slight guy. I know he put on weight. Like, he's never going to be elite.
But you can try, right? Like, he tried in the SEC. He tried in training camp. Today, I'm not saying he didn't try, but he didn't try with the effort required to succeed in the NFL today.
And I think that's fair. I just think that he's kind of behind the eight ball in the physicality just based on his stature. And look, he got beat. And maybe you're saying there were effort issues, but Sandstrom got beat.
Yeah.
St. Juice got beat. We knew going in the secondary had problems. They're going to have to figure things out because it's a combination, as we said earlier. If you don't pressure the quarterback and that secondary is in matchups against top receivers, they're going to lose more often than they win. And the next team's going to look at the film, and the next team after that's going to look at the film, and they're going to say, hey, this is what we need to do. We need to take some shots against the secondary and protect. And there's nobody on the defense, Dorrance Armstrong, Farrell, Fowler. There's nobody that is scary. Okay.
No.
Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne are very good players, but they're also not scary in terms of pass rush because interior defensive linemen generally aren't, unless you're Aaron Donald, right?
Right.
So most teams aren't going to be scared of these players, which, by the way, is probably why they didn't give them long-term deals.
There's also that. By the way, shout out on the way out. Let's end on a positive. Player of the game, arguably defensively in terms of playmaking, Jamin Davis, which is what we all thought all along, JP.
Yeah, Jamin Davis made a couple plays. I thought Bobby Wagner made some plays too. They actually have linebackers now, Craig.
It does help. It does help. Remember when everyone thought they were going to be great at linebacker because the two coaches that were in charge of the defense allegedly played linebacker? That's fun. I thought Quan Martin was actually pretty good today, but we'll get to all that when we review the tape on Tuesday here on Take Command. I've, of course, got the Hoffman Show tomorrow. I got a whole bunch of stuff planned that I can tell people about in a second, but let's go chronological order, JP. What do you guys have on the Junks tomorrow morning?
Junkies 6 to 10 on 106.7 The Fan and Team 980. It's going to be a misery Monday, so we're going to react.
It's back, baby.
It's like we've reacted to this. I don't want to overreact on Jaden Daniels or anything else. It's game one. They were on the road. People want to, you know, heck, we got a guy on our show who said, they're the Bucks. I'll always pick against the Bucks. Well, you know what? The Bucks have been making the playoffs the last couple of seasons. They haven't been going 13-4, but they've been a solid team. And Baker had a really good season last year. And we saw what happens when you can't consistently pressure Baker Mayfield with those receivers. He's going to make plays. So we'll be breaking down the game. Maybe sprinkle a little college football. There were some big upsets in college football this weekend. How about Notre Dame paying over $1 million to Northern Illinois and then losing?
The only thing that made Michigan fans happy this weekend. Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy weekend of college football. So they'll be talking about it starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Basically, whenever you wake up, unless you're one of those people that can somehow sleep past 10. If so, lucky you. I can't sleep past 7 these days. And that would be sleeping
son,
in for,
I think woke
for
up
you,
today.
JP.
Craig, my son today, he's 17. He woke up after 11:30.
God bless him. God bless him. Let him sleep now. Eventually, real life will hit. Enjoy the bliss, young man. Of course, Hoffman Show, we start at 4 o'clock on the Team 980. Also stream live if you're watching us on YouTube right now. Just go over to the Team 980 and subscribe. We'll be live at 4 o'clock right there, of course, on the radio and the Odyssey app as well. I'll start with 10 observations from the game, first and 10. Then we're going to debut Tell the Truth Monday, which will be your chance to yell at me through a telephone, and I will just take the brunt of those calls. Michael Phillips at 5 o'clock, our pick 6 at 6. You know how we roll on Mondays in the afternoons. JP, appreciate you doing this. You're done for the year. We're going to rotate through
That's
everybody because Logan's got to, you know, be on the plane and travel and be a whatever he's doing with the radio broadcast. So we're going to rotate through our main hosts from 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 on Take Command postgame. And yeah, you did your one show. So thanks. And see you next year.
My 7-year-old was starting to make some noise there at the end, but I would say pretty solid effort to keep her quiet upstairs.
We did so far so good, and this is as far as we're going to go because the show's over now. Thanks everybody for watching, listening, subscribe, and JP, you'll see us start to get our misery Monday started tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. on the Junks.